If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, and we're turning to the book of Ruth. And we just want to read a fairly short scripture reading this morning, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and then the first verse of the second chapter. Ruth, chapter 1, and verse 19. And we read, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." And amen, and may the Lord bless to us the reading of his own word for his name's sake. Now let's just bow together with our Bibles open, looking to the Lord that he may continue to minister to us. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we continue on in the attitude of prayer this morning, we thank you, Lord, already for the gracious blessings that thou hast given to us through the message and song. And our Father, we pray that our thoughts this morning, Lord, even through the message today, may be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, Lord, this morning that there might be that hunger within our hearts this morning, that we might say with Paul, that I might know him, Lord, that we might have that deeper desire within our hearts to know more of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to just know more of the Bible, but Lord, to know more of Christ, a living person. Lord, we pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts to that end. And grant, Lord, that you would grant to us the help of thy Spirit. And continue with us, and grant, Lord, that the meditation this morning, Lord, may be profitable to save and unsaved alike. We pray, Father, afresh for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that thou would help us by the power of thy Spirit. Lord, we acknowledge that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And Father, we just ask thee now, Lord, that you would come upon speaker and listeners alike, and grant, Lord, this morning that we'll know the help of the Holy Spirit of God as we meditate upon the Scriptures of truth. We ask it, Lord, in the Savior's name, and for his praise. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible with us this morning, like, turn with me once again, please, to the two short portions that we read together from the Word of God. Now, it's always a very bad thing to begin a sermon with a complaint, and I have just one short complaint, and it's concerning the hospitality that we've been receiving here in Greenville. You know, when I came here, I felt very much like the prodigal son. I knew I was just a sinner saved by grace. But you know, by the time that I go home, I'll be feeling more like the fatted calf rather than the prodigal son. And people have been feeding us so well. And every time we go out, people give us a wonderful feed. And we really enjoyed your hospitality. But you know, I boggle to think, or my mind does, of what it's going to do to my particular diet. And I'll have to do penance for about 6 months once I return home to the north of Ireland. But we do want to thank you for your hospitality. And we could literally say you're killing us with kindness. And we thank you for it in the Lord's name. Now, those of you who have been with us in the past Sunday mornings will recall that we've been doing a short series of Bible studies in the book of Ruth. Now, as you study the book of Ruth, you will find that it's a book that I believe that has a natural twofold division. You'll remember the psalmist David in Psalm 34 and verse 19 said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I feel that in that verse, in Psalm 34 and verse 19, we have suggested to us a natural division of the book of Ruth. For as you look at the opening chapter, the chapter that we've considered the last three Sunday mornings, you will find that it's there that we see that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we've been able to see by the help of God's word into the home of Elimelech, and we've seen the afflictions that this family suffered. But when you come to the last three chapters, chapters 2, 3 and 4, we find that the other part of the verse can be written across these chapters, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And we see that although they forsook the Lord, that the Lord was faithful, and that the Lord, in his own wonderful way, through the hand of providence, brings Naomi back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, once again. And so in the last three chapters we see God's delivering hand, and how that God's purpose for Naomi's life is not frustrated, but how that God, in a wonderful way, works all things out after the counsel of his own will. Now, if you look in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 1, you will find the verse that I want to dwell upon mainly this morning. And indeed, there are three points. I suppose it's true that every sermon should have at least three points. And if you're a Calvinist, it'll have 5 points. But I don't think we're going to be able to look into all that the Lord has for us, and we'll be able to pick it up next Sunday again. But I want you to notice here that, first of all, that there's a friend to be found. That's the first thing. When you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, we find that there's a friend to be found. And the Holy Ghost tells us here that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And so, first of all, we can say that there was a friend to be found, that there in Bethlehem, Judah, that Naomi had a kinsman. That what means that she had a brother-in-law, and his name was Boaz. And there in her hour of need, Naomi discovered there was a friend to be found, that she had one who was related, a kinsman, and he was one who was going to be able to help her. And you know, I want you to notice two simple things concerning this friend to be found. And first of all, I would suggest this, that he was a neglected friend. He was a neglected friend, because this is the first time in the book of Ruth that we read of Boaz. And in the first chapter, when Elimelech was making far-reaching decisions that were going to affect not only his own life, but the life of his family, we find that he neglected Boaz, that he never went to Boaz, that he never consulted him, that he never sought his advice. And I believe that if he had turned to this mighty man of wealth, this one who was a kinsman, that in Boaz he would have found a friend that would have kept him on the right path. And could I say that many a time that we suffer, and sometimes we come under the chastisement of the Lord, because we neglect our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, we fail to seek his counsel and to understand his mind. I'm not going to dwell on it this morning again, but this is something that concerns me as a pastor of a church, how it is that so many young people, when they grow up, instead of seeking the Lord's mind concerning their partner in life, and how that they're just guided by their own desires, and they never bring the matter to the Lord for his approval, and they marry the wrong person, and they step out of the will of God for their lives, and the result is that the whole of their Christian life and testimony has been marred. I think of one young girl who stepped out of the Lord's will. She married an unsafe fellow, and she was married for 25 years, and her husband died. And as they were carrying the coffin down the pathway at the front of the house, she was heard to say to a Christian friend, "There goes 25 years of living hell out of my life." Why? Because she married out of the will of God. She didn't look to her heavenly Boaz, a Christ, for advice. And the result was that she suffered for 25 years of her life, a marriage that brought heartache to her life. And someone has said that if you marry a child of the devil, then rest assured that you'll have trouble with your father-in-law in the days to come. And I want to say this morning, beloved, in this congregation, that we need to get back to the old path of separation in this matter, and we need to be careful that we look to the Lord and that we acknowledge him in all our ways, and especially in the aspect of relationship within our lives as Christians, that we marry within the Lord. So there was a friend to be found in Boaz, but he was a neglected friend. But then I want you to notice something else. As far as Naomi was concerned, if in Elimelech he was a neglected friend, in Naomi he was a needed friend. Can you see Naomi as she comes back to Bethlehem, Judah, in the closing verses of this chapter, and she says to her friends, call me not Naomi, which means pleasantness, but she says, call me Marum, which means bitterness, saying, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. And there was Naomi and her sorrow and her bitterness, with her three of her family, her husband and her two sons, left behind, buried in graves in the land of Moab. And there she is, a heartbroken woman. And here she needed a friend, and she needed one to help her. And you know, sometimes the Lord permits these things. Sometimes the Lord has to speak through death, even to bring us back to Himself. And it was through all the afflictions that she suffered that the Lord brought her home again, and that the Lord brought her home empty. And sometimes the Lord has to send chastisement. Sometimes a hand of judgment has to fall upon our lives that the Lord might bring us back to Himself once again. Not only does the Lord do this in the life of those who are saved, but sometimes the Lord does it in the lives of those who are unsaved. You know, when things are going well and the sun is shining and the sky is bright and my life is plain sailing, my, so often we have no time for the things of God, and we feel that we don't need the Lord, and we neglect Him when we're unconverted. But you know, sometimes the Lord lets the clouds of adversity pass over our lives. Sometimes it seems that the storm of circumstances begins to shake our lives, and in the midst of these circumstances, the Lord speaks to us that He might bring us to Himself. Just before I left here for Greenville, back home, I got a telephone call at 11:30 at night. A young man was on the phone, and he said, Mr. Barnes, could you come to the Royal Hospital right away? I got into the car and went straight to the hospital, and I discovered that his uncle had taken a very deadly poison. He tried to commit suicide, and at 6:30 that morning he got up out of his bed, and he just went into a shed outside of the house, and there he took this poison and he drank the poison. And about an hour later he said to his wife, I've taken poison, I've decided to end my life. And I got this call to go up to the hospital. There was the man, was almost in his dying hours. The poison had done its work in his body, and he was lying there dying. And you know, he was beyond help. He couldn't speak to him. You know, I went back to the home a couple of days later, and I met his wife, and the coffin was there in the home. I was standing by the coffin, and his wife was heartbroken, didn't know what to do, there with three young children. I remember standing beside her, and I said, you know, dear, what you need most of all at this time is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus. And I began to introduce her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, 5 minutes later, we had the joy of kneeling down beside the coffin of her husband. We had the joy of pointing her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in her need, when everything seemed to be against her, like Naomi, she discovered there was a heavenly Boaz, and His name was Jesus, and He could bring comfort in her hour of need and save her and strengthen her and help her in the days to come. And perhaps in your life this morning, it just seems that the circumstances have been against you. Everything seems to be going wrong. And it's been the hand of the Lord crowding you to Himself that you might be brought to Him. Yes, he was not only a neglected friend, but he was needed. He was a needed friend by Naomi in her hour of grief. Then I want you to notice something else, that there's not only a friend to be found here, but I believe also there's a name to be noted. Look at verse 1 again. And we read, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I love that little phrase, and his name was Boaz. So it suggests that there's not only a friend to be found, but there's a name to be noted. It says here that his name was Boaz. Now, names in the Bible are very important. Was it Shakespeare who once asked the question, what's in a name? Sometimes names are important and sometimes they're not, but names in the Bible usually give you a clue or a key to the understanding of a man's life. And this name to be noted, Boaz, it means in him is strength. Now here's a remarkable thing. We find that Ruth, who in many ways is the main character of the book, that the book is called after Ruth, her name is only mentioned about 12 times. And yet when you look at the name of Boaz and you trace it, we find that he's mentioned at least by name 19 times. And more than any other character in the book, Boaz, his name is mentioned. And so there's a name to be noted. Now what is the meaning of the name of Boaz? Now if you have a good marginal Bible, if you look up Boaz in your margin of your Bible, it just simply says, in him is strength. In him is strength. And the meaning of Boaz's name is, in him is strength. And I think that's a tremendous thing. Here's Naomi, she's helpless, she's weak, she's a widow, a pathetic figure of weakness, and yet here's Boaz, and in him is strength. Do you remember that when Solomon made the temple, that he made two great pillars in the temple, you can read about it in 2 Chronicles, and he called one of the pillars Boaz. And I think that Boaz here was going to be a pillar, he was going to be a source of strength, a means of support to Naomi, and she was going to discover in the next three chapters, as we shall see, that in him is strength. Now, when you apply this to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's a tremendous thing. As we look away from an earthly Boaz to a heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, truly we can say in him is strength. Because this morning we rejoice that he's not in the cradle, or he's not upon the cross, or he's not in Joseph's tomb, but thank God he's upon the throne, and God has made him head over all things, and he's in the place of preeminence this morning. And as we see him exalted far above all, and given a name which is above every name, we can say of our heavenly Boaz, in him is strength. Could I suggest to you this morning, first of all, that in him is strength for salvation. In him is strength for salvation. Maybe there's someone here this morning and the Lord has been speaking to your heart and you would love to be a Christian. You would love to be saved, but you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep God's salvation. I could let the Lord slip. I just couldn't live up to it. Well, you know, you never spoke a truer word in your life. You couldn't keep it. But you know, the Bible says, in him is strength. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said on one occasion? He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And thank God the Christ who saves by his blood is the Christ who supports us by his power, and he's the one who is able to keep us day by day. In him is strength. You couldn't keep it, but you can go and say like the Apostle Paul, that I am persuaded that he is able to keep. Do you remember we read in the short epistle of Jude and Jude's doxology, at the end of that short epistle, Jude says, unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Oh, he's not only the great Savior, but he's the one who's the great keeper. And could I say this morning and make it plain that just as there's, as we shall see in the end, there was only one who saved Naomi, there's only one who can save you this morning. You know, people, I don't know hard about America, but I'm sure it's the same when you talk to them about getting saved. Well, you know, I go to my church and I have a lovely minister. And they talk about their church and they talk about their minister almost as if, and sad to say, many of them do believe that salvation is found in the church. I want to tell you this morning, salvation is not found in the church. The church can proclaim salvation, but it can't provide it. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And if you're not going to get saved by Jesus Christ and him alone, then you will never be saved at all. In him is strength for salvation. Bless God, he's mighty to save. Then I want you to notice something else, and it's this. In him is strength for service. In him is strength for service. You know why the Lord saved you? One of the reasons is that you might serve him. Do you remember Paul when he was speaking of himself? How that he referred to himself time and time again as the bond slave, as the servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul realized when he was saved on the road to Damascus that he was saved that he might serve the risen Christ. And you know, believer, the Lord has saved you for a life of service. He just didn't save you that you will have a good time. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I believe that if you really serve the Lord, you will have a good time. You'll have the best possible time as you live your life in the center of the will of God. But you know, beloved, we need to realize afresh this morning that in him is strength for service. So many Christians are sitting back and are only spectators in the Christian life. Never get involved in Christian service and serving the Lord. When you speak to them about it, well, they say, you know, I'm not strong enough to serve the Lord. But you know, the Bible teaches us that the Lord never takes a man because he's strong enough. The Lord takes a man because he's weak enough. Hudson Taylor was once asked the question, what's the secret of success in your life, Mr. Taylor? And Hudson Taylor replied, he said, God was looking for a man weak enough, and he found me. God was looking for a man weak enough, and he found me. And Hudson Taylor yielded his life to the Lord with all its weakness. And in his weakness, he discovered that God's strength was made perfect in weakness, that God's grace was sufficient. And he pioneered a wonderful work for God there in China, founded a China Inland Mission, and saw literally thousands won for the Lord. I think this morning of a young girl by the name of Marion Somerville. And Marion today is serving the Lord in the land of Brazil, the missionary nurse. Let me tell you something about this young girl. This young girl was born with a terrible deformity in her mouth. Her mouth, when she was born, hadn't formed right. And this young girl, the Lord called her to be a missionary. She could hardly speak English, never mind to speak the language of the Brazilians. But God called her to be a missionary. And she said, Lord, if you've called me, I'm going to go forward. And you know what happened? She went through 13 operations on her mouth to have surgery that she could speak and improve her language. And she yielded her life to Christ, went into Bible school, and today she's in Brazil winning souls for Jesus Christ. Why? Because she's come to realize, like Paul the Apostle, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, if we could just give what we have. Do you remember that's what the little boy did in the feeding of the 5,000? He just gave what he had to Christ, and Christ took it and he blessed it. And the Lord made him, and the Lord wrought a wonderful miracle. And you know, the Lord can work a miracle in your life this morning. If you just give what you have, the Lord can take it up and use it to the glory of his name. I remember the night the Lord called me into service. I was never as afraid in my life. I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, it must be a mistake, Lord. You couldn't really want me in Christian service. Lord, do you know who I am? My name's Stanley Barnes, Lord. I remember as a boy being involved in an accident. 2 years, I never attended school. Spent 1 year in a hospital bed in Plaster of Paris from here right down to my toes. Then was pushed about for almost a year in a wheelchair and then one of these metal splints in my leg. Missed school for over 2 years, almost 3 years. My education had been neglected. And then the Lord called me into service. Boy, it wasn't the happiest moment in my life. I was sick with worry. But you know, the Lord gave me a promise. Do you know what he said? It's what he said to Moses. I will be with thy mouth. I will teach thee what to say. I went forth into Bible school and then finally into a theological hall. And I can say to the Lord this morning, great is thy faithfulness. In him is strength. And just as he said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In him is strength for salvation. In him is strength for service. Then our time is almost gone. Could I suggest that in him is strength for sorrow? Oh, I know as I've come among this congregation, and I've met many people here, and some have passed through the valley experiences of life, and some have passed through a pathway of sorrow. I want to tell you this morning that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a great high priest, a heavenly Boaz, and he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities, and he understands. You know, we sing a hymn, and I think you have it here also in your hymn book, and it's that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." You know, the man that wrote that hymn, he was born about 6 miles from my church. His name was Joseph Skiven, and he was engaged to be married, and he was going with a beautiful young girl. And one day she was out horse riding, and something happened, and the horse reared up, and she fell off, and I think she broke her neck, and she was killed. Very tragic circumstances. And Joseph Skiven left Ireland, left Ulster, left Banbridge, and he came to America trying to get away from the grief of a broken heart. But he couldn't do it. Grief was in his heart. And here in America, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then he wrote back to tell his mother how he had come to know Christ here in America. And he wrote back and he penned the words that we now have as a hymn. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege for to carry everything to God in prayer." And he found that in him is strength. And in the hour of grief when he needed a comforter, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. Friend, whatever your need is this morning, perhaps I haven't touched it. Oh, can we recommend you to Christ? Can we turn your eyes upon him? In the words of the little chorus, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." In him is strength. A friend to be found, may you come to know that friend. A name to be noted, may you treasure that name within your heart. Amen.